If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Haggai. Now you say, preacher, I'm not as familiar with the Bible as some. So let me show you how you do this. You go to Zephaniah and take a right. Or you go to Zechariah and take a left. Haggai was a minor prophet. But sometimes when we say major prophet and minor prophet, we really don't understand what we're saying. He was not minor because of his message was minor. He was a minor prophet because his message was shorter. Are y'all listening to me? Haggai is one of those prophets that prophesied after the Babylonian captivity. There was only three that prophesied after the Babylonian captivity. And Haggai was one of these three. Now, I want you to notice in your Bible, and I'm going to give you a few verses, give you some good substantive background, and then I've got a thought that I want to give you this morning. Haggai chapter 1, are you there? And verse number 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Notice this. This is not John Smith speaking. Maybe you don't want to listen to me, but you need to listen to the Lord of hosts. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, if you know the background of Haggai, Haggai deals with the rebuilding of the temple. Nehemiah dealt with the rebuilding of the walls. Israel, the temple, and Haggai is giving reference to the temple. If you know the context, the work of the Lord had stopped for 16 years. The work had just completely stopped. Now, that brings us into context in verse number 5. Now, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warmth. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, let me give you verse number 8. Go up to the mountain and to bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Look at chapter 2 now and verse number 16. I'm going to give you this verse and then I'll lay a platform and preach this morning. Since those days were, are you there? Chapter 2 verse 16. Since those days were, when one cometh to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one cometh to the presbyte for to draw out 50 vessels of press, there were but 20. I wanted to give you four things by way of introduction this morning. My heart's really into what I'm going to preach this morning, and I want to do it in a sober, strong way this morning. First of all, in verse number 5, chapter number 1, we see the call of Haggai and the call of all of us. It said to consider your ways. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what's going on in our country. I see it in the churches. I'm a little tired of it. We want to consider everybody else's ways. Oh, Preacher Smith, Mrs. So-and-so's a jerk. Preacher Smith, Mr. So-and-so is a lazy person. Hold on, friend. We need to get our eyes off of judging people and get our eyes on ourselves. Somebody, that's what he was saying here. He said, you consider your ways. Instead of you start pointing the finger at him or pointing the finger at the preacher or pointing the finger at the deacons or pointing the finger at the choir or pointing the finger at the water club or pointing the finger at the Sunday school. You need to look at yourself. How many says that good preaching? Then secondly, not only God's call, but I see God's complaint. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest complaint God has is that complaint of your priority. Somebody say amen. I want you to know, I still believe this verse is real. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will give you. I believe the Word of God is true this morning. He makes a complaint to them. He said, boy, look at this. This will stir your soul if you look at it. And by the way, maybe you're here this morning. You have so much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're filled with drink. You're clothed, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in the bags with a hole in it. What is he saying, Jared? We live our whole life, yet we're putting everything we got into something that's got a bottom out of it. We worry about our house. We worry about our car. We worry about everything. Everything superficial. And I'm not saying you ought not be concerned with that. But if you ever get concerned about God's work and God first and His glory, somebody help me preach right now. That's good preaching. Then notice the command. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Notice the command in verse number 8. All right, boys, you've been 16 years. Go up in the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. What he's saying is, it's time for you to stop putting your resources into things that don't matter much and put your resources in something that really matters. I want to tell you something really matters this morning. Old-timey religion still matters. The Church of the Living God still matters. Jesus didn't say, upon the moose lodge I built my... What? I didn't build nothing on a moose lodge or the Odd Fellas or any such chunk. He didn't say the worship center. Somebody help me. He didn't say the connection. No, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. People are built by, you know, there's people more faithful to their lives than they are to the church. And I ain't preaching against the lodge. I'm just saying being faithful to the church. I ain't knocking no lodge people right now. I'll lay off y'all for a minute. You're more faithful in your PTL than you are in the church. Somebody help us. Somebody come on and preach with me a little bit. We're so we embellish everything by what God wants. Whew. Amen. Then I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse 16, the consequences. And I'll preach this for the next 15 minutes. Dear Lord, notice these last few weeks, I'm spent so much time in the induction. In verse 16, number 4, I see the consequence. Since those days were, when one come to a heap of 20 measures, there were but what? 10. And one came to a press of it, for to draw out 50 vessels of press, there were but what? Let me ask you a question, church. If I came to a heap and I was expecting 20 measures and I only got 10, how many of you agree with me? I came up short. If I, y'all with me? If I came with 50 vessels to get out of the press, I ain't but got but 20. Well, how many of y'all agree I came up short this morning for just a few minutes? And I'll become a little topical now, if you don't mind. For just a few minutes, I want to preach on coming up short. There's three areas in the Christian life. And three areas, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, there's two kinds of people in church this morning, okay? There's saved people and lost people. In the area of the saved people, there are carnal Christians and spiritual Christians. Is that good preaching? Now, let me give you three things and three areas you don't want to come up short. Turn to Luke chapter 6, please, if you got your Bibles. Just let me be your usher. I'll help you this morning if you'll let me. Turn to Luke chapter 6, And verse number 38. If you're there, say amen. You're a quick turner. Amen. Luke 6:38. Number one, you don't want to come up short at the bank. How many's ever bounced a check and would admit it? Okay. Well, thank God. Now, I want to tell you what. That's embarrassing. But boy, I tell you, go bouncing a church check, that's real embarrassing. You say amen right there. You don't need to come up short at the bank. Look at the context here. Look at the context. Give, and it shall be what? Listen, Joe, can I ask you something? Do you believe that? Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you, what? Again. Am I in context? He said, you give little? What? I'll give little. You give big? And I what? Get big. Amen. So let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Which is best? Giving little or giving big? Let me illustrate. When I was a boy, how many remember when you was a boy? I was a boy. That's 65 years ago when I was a boy. And there was a place in Chandler's Drive called Hardy's Grocery Store. Anybody ever been to Hardy's other than me? One, two people been to Hardy's Grocery Store. If you went to Hardy's Grocery Store when you was about my age, of about 8 or 9 years old, Hardy did this. Hardy had a big old barrel of hard candy. And for a nickel, you could get a handful of hard candy. And one day I was up there and I'm an 8 year old rotten little stinker. And I went up to Hardy and I gave him a nickel my dad gave me. And I said, Hardy, I want a nickel's worth of hard candy. And he knew me by name. He said, John David, you go on over there, put your hand in the barrel and get you a handful. I don't think he ever heard anybody say this. I said, no. You said, what, preach? At 8 years old, I told Hardy, no. He said, well, that's the rules. I know. I said, I know that's the rules, Hardy, but it didn't say whose hand. So here's what I want you to do, Hardy. You go put your hand in there. You got that yet? Let me tell you something. He holds the whole world in his hand. I tell you, I got you give, and it'll be shall give it to you. God is the one who's going to put his hand down in that barrel and give it back to you. Somebody help me preach. I'm about to get loose right there. See, God's shovel is bigger than your shovel. Three things I want to give you. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to have time to get all this message in. But let me give you three areas that God has allowed you to give in as far as the spiritual realm. Number one, time. The Bible said to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's church members, here's how they do things. They say, well, I got to have time for this social thing, 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 and this social thing. And God, this is your time. Look at me. This is your time. I see some church members don't even want to give God 3 hours a week. I don't come to church on Sunday night. They hardly come on Wednesday night. Somebody help me preach right there. They won't teach a Sunday school class. They won't teach in a while. They won't give their time. People dying and going to hell. We need to give our time. Hey, we got ladies up our soul on Wednesday night. You show or Tuesday night. Well, they're sewing little dresses for little missionary kids, little poor orphans, that we can do something for God. You said, Preacher Smith, what really does God want? Just some time.
Amen.
Tell you another thing. And I know this has probably been in 4,500 definitions of this next one. He wants to give you talent. Hello? Everybody in here has got something you can do with your hands or your body or your mind that can contribute to the work of God. Somebody help me preach right there. Everybody got gifts and talents. Everybody got something to offer. When I first got saved, friend, I didn't have a lot to offer, but I told the preacher, Preacher Herman, whatever you need from John David, just tell him and John David will do it. I never forget one Thursday. Herman came to me and we were going to go soul winning. By the way, when this gets saved, some of you get right with God. He said, John, do you have any money? Asking a single guy that. And I'll never forget, I looked in my pocket. And I brought that amount with me today. I had 30 bucks. He said, John, we're going to go visit a family that's lost. But they're starving to death. And I don't even think he'll listen. He said, I ain't got any money right now. Do you have any? I said, I got 30 bucks. I said, it's all I got. He said, can I have it? I said, well, yeah, certainly. You're the preacher. And we went out and bought, went to Smith's, you know where Smith's up Big Timmy is? Went out and bought groceries. Tuck them groceries into that family. When we go, I'm about to get happy. We went to a family that had 7 mom, dad, and 5 kids. The kids were just stair stepping. The youngest, I think, was 7 or 8. We went in there. Herman won mom and dad to the Lord because they were overwhelmed. And I got all 5 of those little kids. Didn't have a clue what to do. I didn't know no Romans Road, John's Road. I didn't know any roads, but I did know John 3:16. And I knew what God done for me. And I sat down there with my little bit, just my little something, wasn't much of anything.
Amen.
And led all 5 of those kids to Jesus. Well, glory. You said, what'd you do? I just took my little gift, my little talent, little me, and said, I'll give it. Give! That'll be good. Then number 3. I'm bogging down, ain't I? Number 3. You give your treasure. Now hold a minute. What's your treasure? Well, it's really defined in the Bible. Malachi 3:8 says to bring your tithe in store. The Old Testament storehouse was Israel. And if you don't think that's New Testament, you're wrong too. Because in 1 Corinthians 16 said on the first day of the week, lay in store. What do you lay in store? Your tithe. I want y'all to know this. And you can come to me later if you don't like this type of preaching. Your tithe is required. And you're really not giving until you give in. Then when you start getting over that, that's the reward money. That's the money, but God says, that a boy. Somebody say amen right there. I want to tell you what, I don't know if he's here this morning. You know who told me to tithe? I didn't know what tithe was. You know who told me tithe? Bill Lamont told me tithe. I got saved. You know what I asked him? I said, Bill, I need to know what I'm supposed to do since I got saved. He looked at me, he said, here's what you do. Number 1, you come to church. I said, I got it. He said, number 2, you get baptized. I'll do it. Number 3, you pay your tithe. I said, what is that? I ain't never heard of that before. He said, that's 1 dime out of every dollar. It's $1 out of every 10. That's 10 out of every 100. 100 out of every 1,000. 1,000 out of every 10,000. Oh, we're getting spiritual. 10,000 out of 100,000. You know what I said to him? I said, no problem. He gave it all for me. Somebody help me preach right there. I at least can get what's required. Somebody help me. You know what? It's all going for his work. You say, how am I supposed to do it? You do a proportion. You make a dollar, 10, you make 5. I mean, it's not, you give a dollar. It really is not. But you know what you're doing? You're doing what God told you to do for his work.
Amen.
Right. Am I preaching? Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I can be rotten. You can too. But I ain't going to rob from God. Just going to give you. Good preaching. Good prayer. If every member in the church would do that little principle, God would bless churches beyond measure. Somebody say amen. Number two, let me give you this, and I may be done on this. I'm going to hurry on this one. Number two, don't come short. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn there. Man, I almost need an hour to preach this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Will you go there real quick? Real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Go down to verse number 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Number 2, don't come up short at the bema seat. Don't come up short at the bema seat. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, and verse number 9, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husband. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which He given me, and to a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. You know, there's two extremes on teaching on the judgment seat of Christ or the bema. One extreme is softer stream. You just talk about the reward. And then extreme. And there is some extremists on it. But ladies and gentlemen, there are also some loss. Am I right?
Amen.
Now, let me give you two things. I had a bunch of notes on it, but let me give you only two. First of all, the basis of this judgment seat is based on your attitude. You know what? I think if you got the wrong attitude and if you do it, you still ain't going to get blessed for it. It's also based on your action. You're either going to sow precious stones, gold, precious stones, or you're going to sow wood, hay, and stubble. How many of y'all know which one won't last in the fire? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen. So we see the basis, and then let me give you the boundaries. The boundaries is for Christian service. It's not sin. You're not going there to get judged on sin. You're going to get judged on your service and your stewardship. Somebody help me preach right there. And ladies and gentlemen, can I ask a question of the church right now? Theological question. Why is God not going to wipe away tears from our eyes? He ain't going to do it till after the millennial reign. Now, I'm going to finish with this because this is where I'm at. Listen to this. Are y'all with me? Somebody asked me, how's this going to happen? All I know is it's going to be revealed by fire. I don't know if you get to see it. I don't know if everybody gets to see it. All I know is it's going to be revealed by fire. It's not for your salvation. But listen to these two things. It'll be reward or the loss of reward. Now, I'm going to give you one more. And this ain't preached very much because people are afraid to preach it. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you, somebody say it. Ladies and gentlemen, why isn't tears going to be wiped away until the end of the millennium? I'm going to come down here and say this because I want you all to hear it real good. Why aren't tears going to be wiped away till after the millennium? You ever thought about Jeff? I know. Because every Christian won't rule. Every Christian will not rule. Here's why I'm saved. How make me rule? No, you're saved. You're going to heaven.
Amen.
Listen, you've been faithful over a few things. What's the basis there? You've been ruler. Larry, question. There you go. Larry, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? It's a good question. You're a smart guy and you can answer it. If you're not faithful, will you rule?
I don't think so.
So, Larry, does that mean there's some members of Taze Valley Baptist Church who, if they're not faithful, won't get a rule? Now, I don't know about you. Joe, I understand that would cause me some sorrow. Has nothing to do with me going to heaven or hell, my sin, that caused me sorrow. And that's why God, at the end of that millennial, will take his handkerchief and wipe away all tears. But why serve God? Why serve God and come up short? When you can have a full reward, when you can have blessings, and when you can rule with Jesus Christ during the millennial. Lastly, and I'm done. Don't come up short at the bank. Don't come up short at the Bema, and I won't go to the passage. Don't come up short at the bar. That's the great white throne judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, what do you mean by that, preacher? If you're not saved by the grace of God, you'll come up short. You will be judged, and God, your Creator, will cast you into a lake of fire where you'll burn forever and ever. And you say, Preacher Smith, you mean God, there is a real hell? You mean a loving God will send me to hell? No, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell, you chose to go to hell. If you go to hell because you said to God, I don't want to be saved. If you go to hell, you reject your mama's prayers, your daddy's prayers. You'll reject the preaching in this preaching hall this morning. You'll reject. Somebody help me, praise.
Amen. Amen.
Don't come up short. At the bank. At the Bema. And at the bar. How you head? I'm done. Lord have mercy. Those who are getting baptized, come on, get ready. How many right now say, Bridget Smith, if I die today, I know for 100%. I'd go to heaven. And I'm not worried at the white throne judgment. I won't be there. Raise your hand. Hold them up high if you know you're saved. Amen. How many right now say, Preacher, I can't raise my hand. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I wonder how many Christians this morning heard the preaching. And there may be some areas in your life you feel like you're coming up short in. Maybe you haven't trusted God in your finances. Maybe you haven't trusted God with your time. Maybe you have neglected to serve Him. I wonder how many Christians in this room say, Preacher, I don't want to come up short. I want you to pray for me. I want my Christian life to be pleasing to God. Slip your hand up. Amen. Oh, I see them. I see them. God bless you. God bless you. You know what a bunch of us ought to do? We ought to come up this altar and say, I don't want to come up short. I want to get God's best. Let's stand. Our Father, Lord, as they get ready to sing, I want to bow my knee. Lord, I don't want to come up short as a preacher. And Lord, I want to get a full reward. I want my attitude right, my actions right. Now touch, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.